Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
With guys like Craig, you step back and watch and observe and see what they do. Because obviously they've done something right for a reason to get where they are. And then after that, you know, if there's some stuff that you see that you're curious about, you kind of dig on the back end. And then when it presents itself, you talk to the player.
I haven't talked to Eddie or T. Giff yet, but I know what those guys are about. I know how much they care. And it's not about gray space for them. It's not about being nonchalant. That's not what this is. It's for them just to, next time they get in that situation, just be more aggressive.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard the voice there of Ethan Katz talking about Craig Kimbrell, and he, of course, is the White Sox pitching coach. And David and Bruce talked to him on the weekend, and you heard the head coach of the Bears, that was Matt Nagy, and he's just, listen, don't worry about the safeties, just touch the guy. Come on, we don't need to get caught up in that. Just touch him.
A lot of different directions to go today. I mean, a lot of reactions to the Matt Nagy post-game press conference and also his diagnosis of things yesterday, Mully. I think that when you look at Matt Nagy yesterday and you heard him talk about, you know, where the Bears are after losing to the Rams, the public discussion is mostly about the quarterback. Privately, I think the Bears have to be most concerned about their defense. Would you agree that they probably have prioritized fixing the defense ahead of handling the quarterback situation at Halas Hall? Is that what you heard yesterday, and do you think that's an accurate? And I think the right way to approach this week, because if they don't try to fix that secondary and they get fixated on what's going to happen at quarterback, now maybe you can do both, but if you're prioritizing, it is, to me, secondary, offensive tackle, quarterback.
Well, I mean, honestly, here's the problem. I don't think that I've been trying to say this to you. I don't think there's a fix to the offensive tackle issue. I think there was no injury update for a reason. That if you had come out of that game and both those guys, well, they were fine. You know what? We realized on the plane ride home that it's not a high ankle sprain.
Right.
He's fine. He's not in a walking cast. He feels like a million. You know what's amazing is the quad just kind of, it just cleared up overnight. None of that happened.
No.
And so you're left with the coach saying, well, we'll let you know on Wednesday. That's it, when the injury report comes out. Neither guy's available, David. That's my prediction.
We both remember 39, and things don't heal that quickly when you're 39, okay? So if you're Jason Peters and you're waiting for this, you know, you're going to wake up this morning and, oh, that quad wasn't so bad. I don't think so. I think those days are over. He's not 29. He's 39, and that's a problem. Look, as it pertains to the quarterback conversation, though, I do think it's interesting to point out a couple things. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
We saw Lamar Jackson last night do what he does for the Baltimore Ravens. This is the guy who was the MVP in 2019.
Yes.
And I think last night we see how far he has come as a passer. He's still dynamic with his legs. I know we fumbled twice. I know all those things are true. But he can still be proud of the way that he has developed as a passer. The Ravens are a team that is perennially very good because of John Harbaugh, but because they have Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, going back to...
Go back to that for a second. Okay, they have John Harbaugh, and they have Lamar Jackson. What has John Harbaugh done with Lamar Jackson? See, I think John Harbaugh had Joe Flacco and won a Super Bowl. Completely different quarterback, completely different offensive system, changed everything dramatically.
Great point. And it's tied into the handling of a franchise quarterback and the development. We use the word development like we know what that means. It means something different in every NFL building.
Yes.
Okay. In Baltimore, it meant waiting until they felt comfortable putting Lamar Jackson into the game to run the show and to be himself. And I think the right approach is just that. And you can find different approaches. You can go out to the Chargers and say that was their way of developing Josh Herbert. And you can point out examples as we continue to hear ad nauseum about guys who have played immediately and it's worked. But you know what? It doesn't. There's no two situations that are alike. But if you look at the similarities between how the Ravens did handle Lamar Jackson and what the Bears could be doing with Justin Fields, I don't think there's any hurry. I don't understand the hurry, I guess. Is it just because people are so impatient these days that there has to be this like rush to get Justin Fields onto the field because they want to see him play? Where's this season going? It's not exactly a sprint to the Super Bowl.
It's fascinating because we talked to, I talked to Olin Krutz in the pregame show, and a couple different times he mentioned this, and I think it's a really important thing to remember. He said that Matt Nagy views the quarterback position as a pocket passer, and that all the guys that the Bears have, all their wonderful quarterback gurus, whether it be, you know, John DeFilippo, whether it be the offensive coordinator, whose
Bill
name
Lazor.
Escapes me. Jesus. Yeah. How I tells you how tired I am, unfortunately.
Sorry.
But okay, Bill Lazor, John DeFilippo, who else is up there? They got a bunch of guys up there.
Tom Herman.
You
got all these guys.
And then who
a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Is whatever. They all view the quarterback position from the pocket. From the pocket, looking out is how they see the position. Is that the best way to play Justin Fields? Is that the best way to think about his skill set? The reason I stopped you is because when we talk about Lamar Jackson, completely different skill set than a guy they had there before, totally opposite offense that they're running. They run almost like a version of the single wing. I know that is oversimplification, but that's what they do. You could get Roman to come here and run that scheme, and guess what? Justin Fields would be phenomenal at it, okay? So I'm not suggesting that I think Justin Fields is a better passer than Lamar Jackson, but I think his skill set is such that you could run different plays. I don't know that you can run it like you would if you're a guy who sees the game from the pocket.
I have two thoughts about that. I think first is what we talked about last week. When Matt Nagy is ready to start Justin Fields, it will signal the need for him to abandon this devotion to that scheme. You can't be scheme-driven when you have a quarterback who, like Lamar Jackson, like other quarterbacks, had this diverse skill set that does you can't really, you know, pigeonhole into this, you know, paint-by-numbers approach. You just have to let him be more abstract. Is that a fair way to describe it? So I think secondarily to that, because you're so locked into this mindset, as you just described, and I agree with it, Matt Nagy has a certain set of standards and a long checklist before every quarterback is going to have to check every box and meet every criteria before he's trusted to start or go into the field. I think it's probably more elaborate and complex than it needs to be, but I think that's what we're dealing with here. And I think that's why it's going to take more time, because he's asking Justin Fields to master this 400 level class before it's really maybe fair to expect him to.
Yeah, he's a star pupil. He'll be fine. He could probably get through the 400 level class. I think the other element here is they're not sure if they can protect Fields, and they're not sure, moreover, whether he can protect himself. So they know
that's it.
They know that Andy Dalton's going to get rid of the ball before, you know, in 2.4 seconds or whatever the hell it was when he was throwing the ball over the weekend. But I don't think they feel that they can rely on that with Justin Fields. Therefore, they might be putting him in more harm's way. Now,
yeah,
he's certainly capable of protecting himself with his legs.
But you want him to develop good habits, not bad
that's
ones.
That's it.
And I've never looked at it as Matt Nagy trying to, as keeping a promise to Andy Dalton as much as protecting an asset in Justin Fields.
All right. 312-644-6767. We got a lot of people that want to check in. And, David, I don't have to tell you because you know that the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's start with Joe. Joe's on the road. Hey, Joe.
Hey, great show, you guys. First-time caller. I just want to comment on Justin Fields. I'm a season ticket holder, and my seats are on the five-yard line in row five where the Bears come out of the tunnel. We were at the Denver game, and we got there early, so they were warming up for their first warm-up, and Justin Fields was throwing the ball from, like, the 55-yard line. He threw about 8 or 10 balls, and his accuracy, and they were all deep balls, to the goal line, every guy caught the ball in full stride, the same trajectory on the ball, and he caught the ball in full speed with the ball floating in his hands between the 1 yard line and the goal line. Not one time did a guy have to slow down, turn sideways, jump for the ball, go out of bounds. The accuracy was, I mean, every ball was a completion with the guy reaching out full speed and then just in the end zone. And that, to me, that was Mitch's problem. He did not know when to release the ball. And there's a lot of quarterbacks like that. You had your great quarterbacks like Breeze and Manning and Brady. They knew when to release that ball.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thanks,
Joe.
Many guys hold on to that ball too long.
Yeah, and that's been the argument about Justin Fields, that he does hold on to the ball too long. You know, here's the problem. It's great to be able to throw an accurate deep pass, but you've got to have protection in order to get the ball down the field. And that is really where the Bears are stuck.
Yeah.
They're stuck.
It doesn't
Elijah Wilkinson is not going to be able to protect anybody for a very long period of time. That's just the reality.
And you can have the fastest receiving core in football, but if you can't protect your quarterback long enough to get them the ball –
yeah.
Speed doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And nobody is saying, and Joe, thanks for the phone call, but Justin Fields is great, and he's going to be great. That's the point here. You know, you don't want to mess that up. And I think that's why you want to be careful, because this is a guy that could be as good as a quarterback as the NFC has seen.
All right, we're going to get back to this. We're going to talk about this before we get out of here, but we've got to get to the pick six. We will do that next. We'll break down all the stories in Chicago sports with the pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
In a fascinating stat unearthed by our guy Big Z, from 2015 through 2020, a span of six drafts, there were 20 quarterbacks taken in the first round, and in half of those situations, 10 times total, the head coach was fired after the quarterback's rookie season. Should that mean nothing or everything to Matt Nagy?
Well, I think Bill Belichick's in trouble. That's my takeaway. I don't know that common logic applies with the Bears. Just being forthright and honest about it, I don't know that that it matters one way or another whether they drafted a quarterback or signed one in free agency. I think Matt Nagy's going to get another year. I don't think he's in trouble. I know the national storyline is that he's one of the coaches on the hot seat, but I don't see it. And, I wonder about Ryan Pace sometimes, but they don't seem to even be considered. They love that guy. They don't seem to be considering it. He's done a really good job of inviting Ted and George into any decision that's made, every conversation. Therefore, he can say, well, you guys agreed. So it's a way of kind of protecting yourself, in my opinion. They talk a big game about collaboration. They talk a lot about the great communication up there and chemistry. They talk about weird things that have no bearing, so why would they suddenly start firing people?
Yeah, we've pushed back at the narrative that Matt Nagy is in trouble. And until I hear information to suggest otherwise, I'll stick to that. Although this is very interesting research, and you wonder about some of these situations, and every case is different. But I don't see any of the five rookie quarterbacks who could start this season, any of those coaches really – they're not in hot water.
You got new coaches.
Yeah, well, Urban Meyer. Yeah. You've got Kyle Shanahan. You've got in the same situation with the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't think that Matt Nagy is in jeopardy of losing his job. At the same time, boy, Mully, I mean, Sunday night was if you're basing it just on the pressure that he may feel, public reaction was just fierce. And if he doesn't play Justin Fields and handle this correctly, he could be facing some uncomfortable moments. I don't know that the Bears will lose faith in him, though. That's the thing. No matter what the public outcry is, privately, I think he has support.
Yeah, they all seem to have their collective heads buried in the sand.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Does word that Ryan Fitzpatrick has been put on IR with the Washington football team make you daydream about a Nick Foles trade, provided he wants to go there, of course? Or is that dream dead as long as Cam Newton is available?
Well, I'll say this. I haven't had daydreams about Nick Foles getting traded, but I do think that there may be an opportunity there for the Bears and for Nick Foles. I do think it's funny to suggest that whether he may not approve a trade to the Washington football team.
I think that's the point of the
question. That is the point of the question. Yeah. Can they get Chuck Leno in return? Can they get Foles for Leno to bring him back? That would be the way I would want to make the deal. But look, Cam Newton makes a lot of sense, and if Cam Newton isn't the next choice for the Washington football team, you wonder if Cam Newton will be playing anywhere again, because Ron Rivera knows him and I would think needs him, so I think he'd probably lean there instead of Nick Foles. But hey, you never know, because Nick Foles is available and wasn't active on Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be great to get a Nick Foles trade. There's not a shadow of a doubt, but I doubt it would be to Washington. And I would think, as you're kind of lining up quarterbacks, Cam Newton's got to be ahead of Nick Foles, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's got to be.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes, and here is what's happening. The White Sox, that magic number is 9 right now, but by the end of today, it could be 6 because Cleveland has a doubleheader. And, of course, the White Sox are back in action hosting Joe Maddon's Angels. Lucas Giolito is throwing, and according to Tony La Russa, Tim Anderson is expected to play today. The Cubs are also back to work. 3-game series in Philly starts. Adrian Sampson pitching. Pre-game with Zach, 5:30. The Bears will be working out today. We'll hear some from some players later on this afternoon. And the Bears are favored by 2.5, the total 45.5, against Andy Dalton's old team in the Cincinnati Bengals. And in Monday Night Football, in case you just woke up, the Raiders rallied from 14 down to win in OT, 33-27. Over the Ravens. The Wildcats, they host Rutgers, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy the tickets, folks, NUSports.com.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
In his post-game remarks, Matt Nagy said of his defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, he was good on the headset. Is that an insult or compliment? How is that a compliment?
It's not a compliment. It's like a weird thing to say. He was good on the headset. I guess that means there was no panic in his voice. Is that the idea? He was clear and concise, and he knew what he wanted to do, and the moment didn't overtake him. You know, I don't know that it translated onto the field, but, man, he was in charge, and he was cool, calm, and collective. That's got to be a backhanded compliment, right? That can't be – that can't be the bar. Well, he was very cool on the headset. Oh, yeah.
Well, it is really a compliment, good. And it does matter, I think, in terms of whether the poise of a first-time defensive coordinator getting caught up in the intensity of the moment, I guess, but it is a low bar, and frankly, it doesn't matter to the scoreboard and to the public. All they care about is, can you stop this offense? Can you call the right defense to counter Sean McVay, who is now 38-0 when having a halftime lead, and looks like he outmaneuvered you in the second half. So being good on the headset, I think, was related to poise and control and calling the right things. It also is an indictment on the players, whereas I think we all saw what we saw. The secondary stunk, and this was just more confirmation of that, because if they were in the right coverages and he pushed the right buttons and he was good on the headset, they weren't very good on the field.
Empty compliment.
A pick six of 100 yards!
As Shohei Ohtani arrives with the Angels today, do you consider him the consensus MVP in the American League? Does Vlad Guerrero Jr. have a chance? What about Jose Abreu? Do you have hope Ohtani pitches Thursday against the Sox, or you're good if the Angels want to skip the guy making history?
Oh, I hope he pitches in town. I think everybody should get a chance and the privilege to watch him pitch in a season that's historic. Even if he, you know, look, the Sox next meaningful game is in October, so if Ohtani can pitch at Guaranteed Rate Field, I think everyone will be better for it. Vlad Guerrero Jr. could win the Triple Crown and not win the MVP. Think about that. He could be the Triple Crown winner and still not be the MVP, because Ohtani is doing something so rare and historic on the mound and at the plate. And then in the field, this guy is going to win the MVP, and he should. Jose Abreu's having a terrific season, probably better than when he won the MVP, but I think he is not going to be in contention. I think it's going to be Ohtani's MVP trophy to lose, and this is just one of those seasons for Vlad Guerrero Jr. He could definitely make history without really making history.
I think Shohei Ohtani has already won the MVP. I think he's done enough, and you could lock him down and close him down for the rest of the year, and the MVP is his. And it doesn't matter what anyone else does, and it doesn't matter if someone wins the Triple Crown. It's Shohei Ohtani. It's his world. The rest of us are here on it. My advice would be for them to just shut him down, put him in bubble wrap, and not even use him as a hitter.
Stop.
That's how much I don't want to see the guy on Thursday. How's that?
Okay.
Pick six.
Is Iowa the place to be these days with Nico Horner rehabbing there and Brennan Davis promoted on Monday after 76 games with AA Tennessee? How soon before Davis joins the Cubs? Is he their next great player?
I think he's their next player. I mean, I think he's a guy that's going to be with the organization for a long time. I think he'll be on the major league team next year. I don't know that he's going to break camp with them. I got to look at what the outcome of the contract talks are and find out if there's any value in keeping him down for a year or two or keeping him down for a month or two. You know, the Cubs, they're gonna try to Chris Bryant him if that's still allowed. So that's not an insult. That's smart baseball, so I'm told.
Okay.
So I don't think we'll see Brennan unless there is no contractual reason not to bring him up. But he will be a good player, and he'll come up next year.
All the Cubs did with Chris Bryant was alienate him, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear the service time argument when Brennan Davis bring him up, start him opening day. And, yes, you know what? Iowa is the place to be because, as Pat and Ron tell me, every score broadcast in Des Moines, the S's may be silent, but the city is buzzing.
That is a pick six.
As the Cubs fans arrive in Philadelphia to begin a three-game series, how many Cubs fans do you think will see Joe Girardi in a Phillies dugout opposite David Ross and wonder, after all that's happened, if the Cubs made the right choice in picking Ross over Girardi in 2019? Would Girardi have quietly accepted the great Wrigley teardown as easily as Rossi did?
I really want to cede my time here to Dustin because I'm curious what he thinks about this and to weigh in quickly because I do wonder that. I have wondered that because if the Cubs were going in this direction all along and knew it back then, I don't think Joe Girardi, even if he wasn't Theo's choice, wanted any part of a rebuild.
Well, you didn't cede your time because you talked.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So I'm sorry, Dustin. No, I will cede my time.
I don't think the Joe Girardi experiment would have worked at all with this group, not even a little tiny bit.
Really?
I like Joe Girardi. I got, as Mully would say, I got plenty of time for Joe Girardi, but I don't think that would have worked at all. No way, no how, no dice.
Because of the red arse element? Is
absolutely. They did not know they were going down this route. I don't believe that this was part of their master plan. I really can't. I can't buy that, but Girardi would not have gone along for the ride as easily as David Ross has.
So do you think he could have prevented this from happening?
Right. That's the question.
Oh, would Girardi have pushed the right button? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think David Ross was here's the thing. I do believe Ross was the right guy at the right time. This group, that core group, just couldn't get it done anymore. Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez were broken together here in Chicago. They needed a change of scenery to get things going again. It just wasn't working anymore.
Is Ross the right guy for the rebuild?
TBA.
Yeah, I think right now
TBD,
I'd say yes, but I mean, Andy Green, I mean, I'm saying it's almost one of those, like I always say, I need a name. I'm not thinking that. I'm more worried about who's playing shortstop, who's playing left field next year than I am about who's managing the left fielder or the shortstop next year at this point.
TCB, as Elvis and David would say.
We got John Heyman next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. We love talking to our friend John Heyman, and John joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Mr. Odyssey Sports and MLB Network. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're feeling a lot better about life, I think, because the White Sox managed to win a series, and it was a couple of one-run wins. And I, you know, listen, John, I know there was some COVID issues with the Bo Sox, and I don't care. It was just fun to see the Sox win a couple of close games.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. I mean, you know, they got a shot this year, as we've been saying. We knew they'd win that division. I think they're doing the right thing, really taking care of their health, not worrying about whether they win by 10 games or 12 games or whatever. And I think they're going to be in good shape. I mean, I would say the Rays are probably the favorite. They've been the best team. Toronto's obviously been very hot. Houston's good. I mean, it's wide open in the American League. I would say any of those four, pretty good chance. Fortunate that the Dodgers and the Giants are in the other league, because those are probably the two best teams. So in the American League, I think the White Sox have a decent chance.
And John, yet any of the division winners, I think, are going to fear whoever gets hot in the wild card race, because that is fascinating to watch. One of the best races going in baseball right now between the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and look, maybe even the Mariners. Whoever gets hot to sneak into the playoffs could be the team that you fear and don't want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Wild card teams have won it, and that certainly could happen. Toronto is right now the team that's hot. I mean, 20 games or so to go, and that can change. But, I mean, Toronto's pitching great. They're hitting a ton. You know, the other teams have not been that good. The Yankees got lucky against the Twins, as they always do in New York yesterday, but they have not been that good. You know, I don't believe Seattle's going to be a World Series team this year. Can they get in the playoffs? I mean, anything's possible. You know, to me, it's probably Toronto, if it's anybody who's going to scare somebody. Boston, with their COVID issues, I mean, really, they only have themselves to blame. You know, they're one of the seven teams that haven't hit the magic 85% and don't look like they're going to do it at this point. And COVID outbreak is not helping them. Chris Sale being out, it's a big blow, you know. So I don't have that much faith in them. I think if it's anybody in the wild card, it's Toronto. But as I said, wild card teams have won the World Series. I mean, look at the Marlins. They've never won their division, and they've won two World Series. So, you know, it can be done.
Joe Maddon back in town. David talked to him on Saturday. It's just fascinating to go back and think about, that's not that long ago that Joe is gone from Chicago. And I believe he said to David and Bruce Levine on Saturday that, you know, he basically admitted that it wasn't his idea that he leave. And that was interesting to hear, because he hasn't talked much about it.
Yeah, absolutely. They thought the time was up. You know, the relationship was not great. But, you know, if you're a manager making $5 million a year as a Cubs manager, you want, even if you don't have a great relationship with your owner, with your front office, you're certainly going to want to stay. And I'm sure that he did. But it was pretty clear for a year, I would say, that things were not going well in the relationship. And they thought it was time to move on. And that is fair to say. Now, with the Angels, interesting situation there, where they have three of the best players in the game. Two of them haven't played in three months. And the other one's going to win the MVP. I keep hearing the talk about, is it Vladdy or is it Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani is the MVP. That's over. But one team, one player does not make a team, or nor does two or even three. So they got a long road there with the Angels. So we'll see how that goes.
John, we were talking this morning, you know, when Joe Maddon left, David Ross replaced him. It was a much different job with the Cubs. He took over a team that was ready to win and compete and contend. That's not the case anymore. This is a rebuild. How equipped do you think David Ross is for this, what's ahead of him, and or how prepared do you think he was for this rebuild?
Well, I don't think anybody's prepared for a rebuild of this magnitude. And, you know, I've got to say that his longevity as a manager is not, I wouldn't bank on it being that great, because they're going to lose a ton of games. And, you know, oftentimes, whether it's the manager's fault or not, the manager does get blamed. You know, I'm going to be surprised if they're a winning team or even competitive team next year. They got a lot to do. I mean, obviously, they've had some nice surprises. Schwindel's been good. Wisdom was really good early. You know, they did okay at the trade deadline. Madrigal should be good. I like Horner as a player, but, you know, their position players overall are below average, and their pitching overall is, you know, very bad. They've got a ton of work to do. And do we think that Ricketts is really going to spend that money to make sure they're a winner next year? You know, based on what happened this year, I doubt it. So, you know, Ross is in for a tough sledding, not of his own making.
You know, the Giants, first to 70, first to 80, first to 90, first to clinch, and they got that done. They have not been in the playoffs in 5 years, and it's pretty extraordinary. They really can't take their foot off the pedal yet, though, because they want to win the division. Were you surprised by their performance this year? Where are you at with them actually being better than the Dodgers?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's surprised. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there who saw this coming, but I can tell you on our big-time podcast, Tony Gwynn Jr. and I did not see the Giants as a playoff team. I think we're in the vast majority there. You know, I would say once they played 60 or so games, I was convinced they were darn good, and I thought they were going to hang on and win it. You know, I talked about the AL MVP race, how that's over. The race for the executive of the year, that's over. I think David Stearns has done a really good job in Milwaukee. But, I mean, Farhan Zaidi and company, Scott Harris, who come from the Cubs, I mean, they've clearly been the best front office this year. I mean, Rick Hahn's done a good job, too. But, I mean, they've been perfect in San Francisco, really. I mean, to sign all these free agents, one-year pitching free agents, I mean, those are like lottery tickets. I mean, obviously, Rodon was a good one, but to hit so many in San Francisco, Gausman, now he got paid a decent amount, but DeSclafani, Wood, it's amazing. Logan Webb has stepped up. You know, signing Flores was a good move. He's done well. Ruff has done well. I mean, bringing Kapler in as the manager, that shocks a lot of people, that stuff. I mean, they've done everything right, and they may hang on over a team that is on paper one of the best in a generation, really. I mean, just an incredible team. I still think the Dodgers are the favorite, even if they have to go to the wild card. You know, they go to the wild card. I mean, all these teams are fighting to play the Dodgers, or likely the Dodgers in the wild card. If it's the Giants, they're in better shape. But, you know, you don't want to play the Dodgers in a wild card. I mean, Max Scherzer is going to pitch that game, and if they're fighting and it has to be Bueller, you can live with that too. I mean, two of the best four pitchers in the National League this year. You know, you won game, you say anybody can win, but I'm not so sure about that. I think the Dodgers will be in there. And, you know, to me, the Dodgers and the Giants are 1-1A, the two best teams in baseball.
John, Cubs fans may want to look away or cover their ears, but how in the world are the St. Louis Cardinals a half game out of the wild card race?
Oh my God.
In the National League?
Yeah, they do it. It's amazing. And, you know, they've won the World Series with 83 games. I mean, can they do it again? I don't know. It's pretty incredible. You know, Wainwright is the only pitcher in baseball with 9 wins after the break. He's 40 years old. Amazing. He said he's coming back, but it's interesting they haven't signed. They signed Yachty because he took the $10 million, which is fine, which is good, which is what he deserved. And they haven't signed Wainwright. And, you know, I think they're trying to get him that ridiculous hometown discount. They got him for $8 million this year, and he's a Cy Young candidate. I mean, not going to win it, but he's certainly a candidate. You know, look at Charlie Morton, got $20 million. You know, he got, more than double. They're going to have to double his pay, even with the hometown discount. I mean, he's been fantastic. Goldschmidt and Arenado have been themselves now. You know, they're a replacement at shortstop. Sosa looks good, although I don't know if you saw it. He actually had such a wild throw at the umpire on
yes.
the side of the face.
Yesterday
in the game. I don't know if you guys
yeah.
saw that.
Yeah, it was awful.
Keith Hernandez had said he'd never seen it. I know I'd never seen it. It wasn't good, but he's done a nice job other than that throw. You know, they have a solid team. If you have a solid team, you're in the race this year. The Cubs could have been in the race. They've done just a couple of adjustments the other way rather than going toward the selling side. You know, you don't have to be that good to make the playoffs. And, you know, who knows if the Cardinals are in the playoffs, who knows what could happen. And to win a World Series as they did with, I think it was 83 wins or may have been 84, amazing. Sorry about that, Cubs fans. It is amazing. Maybe they don't make it, but I mean, certainly the Mets aren't going to get there at this point. But they got a clear shot. You know, the other choices are Cincinnati, which has been up and down, and San Diego, which has a ridiculous schedule. I mean, they play only winning teams going in, including two series with the Giants, one with the Dodgers. I mean, I don't know who wrote these schedules. The Phillies, they keep playing Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Colorado. They can't even beat them. So it's almost unfair. I'd have to look at the whole schedule, but, I mean, certainly it's an advantage to be in the East or the Central over the West, but shouldn't be this much of an advantage.
John, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
You guys are. Good talking to you.
That is John Heyman, always a joy. And, man, I tell you what, Biggs time is next. Let's talk some football. We'll do it with Brad Biggs next here, Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.